Good morning and welcome. Patriot Radio News Hour. Joe and Jason here on this Wednesday, 2024, the year of chaos. Our toll-free number, as if you guys didn't know, 800-951-0592. The website at allamericangold.com. And, well, more chaos just breaking here. The FAA has placed an all stop on Alaskan Airlines. All of their flights are grounded, including subcarriers, with the exception of SkyWest. They haven't given a reason why they've shut it down. My guess is maintenance is probably the big factor here. At the same time, Boeing whistleblowers now saying that all Boeing 787s should be grounded. Jason, this thing just keeps getting weirder and weirder. United came out and said, hey, because of Boeing's problems, we're going to take a lot less new planes this year than we anticipated. The Boeing thing seems to be getting worse by the day. And now the FAA tells Alaskan Airlines, all your flights are grounded. They have still yet not said why, but call me crazy here. I'm going to take an educated guess and say the plane's got maintenance problems.
More scarcity of flights. Right? So now you should expect a higher price on your flights because there's going to be less because we have to maintain the planes that, for whatever reason, for decades past, were being maintained. But of course, by 2024, they're not maintained well enough. So sorry, there's a scarcity of flights, and your prices will go up. Don't blame the inflation.
Right. Don't. That's right. It's not. Hey, it's not Jay Powell's fault. It's not Janet Yellen's fault. It's not the endless money printing's fault. Somehow, yes, seemingly for decades and decades and decades and decades, we could build airplanes and keep them in the air and without any issues. And now, all of a sudden, here's the year of chaos. Boeing can't build planes anymore, apparently, right? They forgot how. I don't know. And the airlines, well, they can't maintain them either.
And ships can't drive straight, so they smash into bridges. And trains fall over, and warehouses blow up and catch on fire. And scarcity. And the prices are up. It's just harder to get stuff to you. That's all. Don't worry about the inflation. It has nothing to do with money creation, no.
No, it doesn't have anything to do with that, right? And bird flu, right? Just now all of a sudden kills all the birds, and now the cows get sick, and, you know, no more, but, you know, hey, as soon as all that goes away, things will get better. That's what it is.
Never mind the multitude of illnesses animals have anyways, and it's the reason why you cook your meat. So, but this time there's a bird flu, so let's just kill them all. Just kill them all, because, of course, this is the one that will actually get people sick, right? Not all the other stuff that they are constantly vaccinating and pumping hormones and antibiotics into their animals. No, you know, all those are fine, but now we got to start wiping out complete flocks of birds, Joe, because, well, there's just a scarcity, and your eggs will cost more now.
That's right, and get used to it, because, like I said, I think this is going to be just a common event all year long. And then Jay Powell yesterday, so he had a big get-together and was talking about the latest data, because, you know, he's been watching this data. So since he's been the Fed governor, he's been watching it, and he keeps watching it, and at least for the first time, he did say that the recent data has lacked further progress on inflation. Now, that's an interesting way of saying it, because not only did it lack progress, it actually got worse, right? It's saying, hey, wait a minute, the inflation's getting worse. But, okay, I guess lack of progress was his big comment. But here's the amazing part, Jason. He still won't give up on this, saying that he still expects rate cuts to take place at some point this year. He's not going to give up.
We need to have a course on, you know, learning Fed speak, right? We need like you know, one of those where you put it in your car and you learn Spanish while you're driving to work every day. You know, we need one of those for Fed speak. When they say lack of progress, that means inflation's getting worse. And when they say transitory, they mean inflation is here. You know, we need to be able to speak Fed speak. We just don't speak their language, Joe. That way people stay confused.
Yes, you know. He just said, listen, it's just going to take a little while longer. Right? Hey, I got a great, I see it now. He's just going to keep watching it. But he says it needs more time. We need further time to let our policies work. I mean, it's been almost a year. How much more time is it going to take, right? And again, this just tells you this guy's a clown. He's been a clown. I told you this from day one. He is really almost the reincarnation of Arthur Burns, who was the head of the Federal Reserve during the 70s, right? We got, you know, you had Jimmy Carter back then. You know, think about, really, we had Nixon. Right? Nixon Ford thing. We got Trump, quite kind of the same thing, you know. Obviously, he didn't get booted out of office, but similar. Everyone hates him. Then you got Jimmy Carter, right? The peanut farmer. Now we got Joe Biden. I mean, history doesn't repeat itself, but it kind of does, right, Jason? It kind of does.
I'd say it's exactly the same. It's just that the role model, the role players, and the situations are just slightly altered. It's the same thing. These people that make these decisions are in control. And if you look at it over a long enough timeline, Joey, there's no real emergencies. There's just a path that directly ends up where we end up every day, which is boom and bust cycles.
Don't worry, though. He's firmly committed to that 2% target. Well, then raise rates. Simple. Oh, wait, maybe I'm not that committed. We'll be back. 800-951-0592, Patriot Radio News Hour. Joe and Jason here on this Wednesday. A quick look in. The Dow's down again. This time right now, 45 points. We'll see how it goes. The S&P's down 5. The NASDAQ's down 37. The 10-year note's down to, you know, 4.62. We'll watch here tax day. So at least for a couple of weeks, we'll get some revenue. Hopefully these debt auctions will be a little less for a few weeks, because that's all that buys, right? We'll get a couple of weeks of maybe some lesser auctions. We'll see here. Gold's been really between 2385 and 2395 kind of all morning long, but right now it's down 5 at 2386. Silver's up. You know, we kind of anticipated that. We liked what silver did yesterday. Up 25 cents here, 2865 right now on silver. And, you know, we're starting to see some cracks here. When we look at what's going on with inflation now, this news today with Boeing, United, who was supposed to take 183 planes. Then they said 101 planes. Now they're saying they're only going to get 61 planes. This is another one of these things where, you know, Jason pointed it out, right? Hey, they're just going to pay more because there's no capacity out there. And I think that's what's happening everywhere. It's, you know, everything's a shortage, whether it's cocoa, coffee, you know, you're talking about gold, silver, copper, you name it. Everything is in short supply out there. President Biden, we can call him that, is now saying that he wants to triple the tariffs on Chinese aluminum and steel imports. Okay, well, great. Hey, I'm all for it. Right? I'm all for it. Of course, that's just going to make stuff cost more. But, hey, who cares, right? This is why you need to get diversified, because this soft landing scenario that they were promising us isn't happening. And these guys are either it's deliberate, right? I mean, either it's deliberate or these guys don't know. Doesn't really matter, does it? Right? We're committed to 2%. Well, no, you're not. No, you're not. You're not committed. And, of course, there's a reason why they're not committed, because it can't work. And that's why we keep telling you Get yourself diversified. You got to get your gold and silver. If you've got more than $50,000 in, you know, maybe it's in an IRA. Some of you, maybe it's in a 401k, sitting in the bank. Check out YRefi. Up to 10.25% fixed rates of return, not correlated to the stock market. That's the biggest thing. Just have another bucket that does, you know exactly what it's going to do. You're like, okay, for this part of my portfolio, I don't have to worry. I know exactly what I'm going to get every single month, and I don't have to worry about, I don't know, what happens if Joe and Jason are right and inflation comes roaring back, and now all of a sudden Jamie Dimon saying interest rates could be 8%. Oh, you know, Wall Street's not going to like that too much. Check them out. InvestYRefi.com. That's the word invest, the letter Y, R-E-F-Y.com. Or just call them at 888-YRefi24. 888-YRefi24. And Jason, look at this. Now, even the red states, how broke are people out there? How broke are people? How broke is the working poor? Right? South Dakota now saying, maybe we're going to have to start thinking about, you know, dare I say, hey, basic income, right? Hey, do we just got to start handing out cash to people so they can pay bills?
Yeah, you know, that is probably on the menu. I don't know when. That might be a little further down the road than we think. It seems like it could be any minute. But let's go back just for a moment, Joe, to false scarcity, which we were touching on in the first segment, which I think actually falls into where universal basic income, well, that's where these are the kinds of things that are on the back end of this. You know, the reason you need to really be suspicious, and this is the conspiratorial side of economics as far as I'm concerned, and why I think these guys are doing and know exactly what they're doing. You know, Joey, a week ago, is talking about, hey, got a friend who says stuff's coming off the ships $100 per item cheaper. Okay? That's the data I think the Fed's looking at. They don't release what's the price coming off the ship. Joe, you talked 2 years ago about demand destruction. Inflation is demand destruction. The prices get too high and people can't afford to buy those things. So if you create all throughout the market, you know, an oil pipeline blows up, and now there's the Red Sea is being shut down by terrorists, you know, a bridge gets smashed, warehouses burn to the ground. If inflation's here and it is hot and it is running hot, and you simply bottleneck the amount of things people can buy, first of all, the Fed doesn't ever want deflation. They are scared. Them and their rich buddies can't enrich themselves. But they can still make double margin if they squeeze the amount of things that are coming out to be sold to the market and then simply destroy the rest of it, right? If you destroy the supply of things, then people are, even in a deflative situation, there are people that are going to still buy stuff, right, Joe? People are going to still buy stuff no matter what. There's always somebody that has the means. But for other people that don't have the means, they stop buying, and there comes your deflation, there comes your recession, right? To me, this looks like a very deliberate demand destruction. This is a very deliberate squeezing of the supply chain of things. And when stuff's coming off the ship cheaper, Joe, and inflation keeps pushing upward, that's because, hey, let's just destroy flocks of chickens, and the egg prices will stay up. Never mind that there should be a housing crash right now. Housing prices should be going down. People aren't buying houses with these interest rates. But if you squeeze the supply of anything, Joe, you'll keep the prices up. I think that's, you know, that's why we got to keep talking about demand destruction, Joe, is because, you know, now we don't have enough flights. Are you kidding me? They don't have enough flights. It just happened this year. It doesn't happen like that on accident. It just doesn't.
Yeah, and you're bringing up great points, because look at most of the retailers out there. You know, business is off. It's not, you know, it's not dead, but it's off. And yet, everything still costs more. Right? That's what we're talking about. Hey, wait a minute. If they're buying less, things should start getting cheaper. No, they're not getting cheaper. They still cost more. And what we're seeing right now, Jason, and this is just everywhere, this is part of the problem with the quote-unquote global economy now that all of a sudden, well, gosh, you know what? Russia and China, we just don't really like these guys. So all of a sudden, now we got problems, right? Oh, the Middle East, we never liked those guys. Let's start there, you know, let's start stuff. Now the ships can't get through there, right? I mean, it's one thing after another, and this is why we're starting to see a state after state after state. Now, I don't even know how many programs there are for basic income now, universal basic income. There's hundreds of them, whether it's cities, states, right? People just, here's $500 a month. For what? Well, just because you're poor, right? Here's $1,000 a month. Well, for what? Well, you're poor, right? And this will keep you from, I guess, being the next homeless person. And this just tells you, Jason, this is what's happened in America today, right? It's this slide. You were upper middle class. Well, now you're just middle class, right? You were middle class. Well, now you're lower middle class. Well, you're lower middle class. Well, now you're poor. Well, I was poor. Well, now you're broke, right? Now you're on the verge of homelessness. And you're seeing cities and states all across the country try to come up with these programs because it's like, they got a job. They're working, right? They're working 40, 50, 60 hours a week, and they can't make it work.
It's a calculation, Joe. If people can't eat or have a place to live, they'll burn your city down. So if we just give you a little bit so that you can live poorly, Denver won't burn to the ground. I mean, that's all it is. It'll cost us less to give you money than to fix the stuff you're going to burn to the ground. That's really what it is. Once again, there's not enough stuff being produced for the people that need it, and the prices are going up. I mean, the inflation is crazy. Look, we had record high gold in 2020. We hit it again in 2021, and we hit it again in 2022. And our customers were coming in. Joe and I were busy, blasted busy. Now, something different. Well, now we got record high gold. And Joe and I aren't nearly as busy as those other 3 years. You would think, well, geez, this is way higher than the gold in those other 3 years. Well, it's not that people don't want it. If you're saying, oh, if nobody else is buying, I shouldn't buy it right now. No, nobody. These people that normally would buy from us are having trouble coming up with the funds to be customers for us. And this is kind of a challenge to the listener. If you can buy in times like this, you are way, way ahead of the people that can't buy, and unfortunately, a lot of people are selling their gold and silver to make ends meet. This is the peanut butter jar I talk about. You know, all the money's coming out. All the money's coming out. You know, the big players, they own the whole peanut butter jar. That stuff that stuck to the side during the boom cycle, that's what we have. And here comes the spatula, and they're going to clean that sucker out. And that's what's happening right now. Oh, there's not enough flights. Spend more for a flight. Oh, there's not enough stuff because a bridge was hit. Spend more, or don't spend at all. And don't invest in anything because we don't want you increasing the value of your portfolio, right, Joe? And this is exactly what's happening right now. And if you got it, you really should put it in gold and silver. Gold and silver is really going to treat you like a friend for a long time to come, Joe.
You know, great points. How about Sheila Bair yesterday? Did anyone of you catch that? You know, who is she? Well, you know, you guys may remember she was the head of the FDIC during the financial crisis. Well, she was giving an interview yesterday on CNBC, the cheerleading channel. Oh, my God, they hated. They hated what she said. She's like, hey, listen, I'm worried about these banks and primarily these regional banks. Remember Bank of America's earnings yesterday? Huge increases in write-downs and write-offs and lack of payments, both on commercial real estate and on credit cards. And then Sheila Bair saying, we've got way too many banks overly reliant on what she called industry deposits. Okay, what does that mean? That means businesses. Hey, they've got a handful of really big depositors. In other words, they're not insured. And the second any of them leave, we're going to have a problem. And she's like, and to her comments was, listen, we're one more bank failure away from these industry deposits fleeing these banks forever. and we're going to have a huge problem on our hand. She's saying that Congress should reinstate the FDIC's transaction account guarantee authority so they can stabilize these deposits. In other words, hey, we're just going to guarantee all the deposits. How can you guarantee anything? They don't even have any money.
You know, I was watching, I was going through and looking at the stuff that I like to look at on a nightly basis, and Fox, I don't do anything with the normal news now. I just skip over it for the most part, but Fox News yesterday had a little, you know, they're talking gold for the first time, and they were saying, hey, there's this thing called a bail-in. Have you heard of this thing? I don't know if you saw this, Joe. Fox News was talking about, hey, there's a, you know, gold is at $2,400, and there's this thing where the losses, we're not going to, the government's not going to bail out banks this time. So they're going to bail in that they can, and they started talking about Canada. There were some places in Canada shutting down people's ability to withdraw cash. They're like, oh, this is actually happening in Canada right now. And they're starting to talk about the bail-ins. The guy actually said, the guy's like, well, it makes you want to pull your money out of there. And here you are talking, FDIC talking about, well, these deposits aren't looking too good, are they, Joe?
People really, really got fooled with Dodd-Frank. They really did. Too big to fail. Most people have no clue what they really did. And that's a great example of what they did is said, hey, we're not bailing the banks out. The depositors will. 800-951-0592. A real quick update here. Now being reported, Alaskan Airlines had a system trigger that caused the nationwide ground stop. The system calculates the weight and the balance of the plane. So I'm just going to say that's probably pretty important, right? Probably pretty important, the weight and balance of the plane before you take off. So apparently this is, I'm going to say, computer related maybe versus the overall maintenance of the planes, but that is the latest out of Alaskan Airlines. Of course, the whistleblowers are testifying in front of Congress today with Boeing talking about the need to ground. I mean, I don't know about that, but grounding all 787 planes that Boeing's been putting out, saying the safety lapses are just unprecedented. These are the things that really kind of shake the markets here right now. The Dow's down 150 points now, starting to grow again here. Jason, it just looks like Wall Street's starting to struggle with the realization that the Fed didn't do its job, didn't fight inflation. Rates are going higher and higher as more and more debt continues to pile up. And now the former head of the FDIC came out and said, hey, listen, these regional banks, yeah, they got a big problem, which is all of a sudden, just one more of these, and you're going to see a mass exodus. She was very clear on it, too. She just said, listen, commercial real estate's a disaster. Now they're starting to take credit card losses on top of it. Any of these big depositors start fleeing again, it's going to be a massive run on these regional banks. And you could see multiple regional banks going under. That's why she's saying, listen, we should just say everything's guaranteed. You know, why not? You know what? They can't even guarantee the 250, so why not just say everything? I mean, it'll make sense to me, but when you start to look at it, the one thing that she also said, oh, by the way, that's just going to push everybody into the big banks, right, Jason? And this is kind of what people are starting to realize. Wait a minute. The government can't bail out the banks. Well, what is the rule? What if Sheila Bair is right? What actually does happen then? And you know what? They finally figured out on Fox, and it's only taken them, what, how many years now has that been the law of the land, right? 14 years, 13 years, something like that. They finally figured out, oh, wait, the depositors got to pay for it? Yeah, that's exactly what happened. Because what Sheila Bair's not talking about, you know, Joe Schmuckatelli Bank, in Podunk, Idaho. That's not the bank she's talking about. She's talking about these banks like New York Community Bank, like Silicon Valley Bank, like Signature Bank. These banks that, hey, they're believe it or not, $100 billion bank by asset class, Jason, is now enough to upset the apple cart, and we laugh about too big to fail now.
Yeah, well, and you always got to keep in mind that none of these institutions are standalone entities. They're all interlinked. You know, these loans weave in and out of small institutions, medium-sized, large. And then on top of that, what do these institutions independently do with the capital that they're given? And what is the average guy that really doesn't understand? He's like, well, I'm running a bank. Oh, what do I put this money? You know, that they just, oh, well, the Fed says to do this, or this other Jamie Dimon says do this. Okay, right? Buy a whole bunch of low interest stuff. That blows up on you in a couple of years' time. And so it's very interlinked, because the same information that Joe tells you on the air every day, that's a lot of the information that's just swimming around these institutions while they're trying to make decisions. And while the Fed has Fed speak, you don't know exactly what they're saying. You make a lot of bad decisions as a bank, and just like any business, you fail. Because none of these banks are the central bank. These banks are at the mercy of the central bank. They're players. And the Fed doesn't care if 1,000 banks fail. In fact, they probably want more than that to fail, because that gains more control for them, Joe.
Yeah, it's just a whole lot simpler for them to do what they want to do, right? Which is, hey, having a lot less banks. I mean, that's what's going to happen anyway with this digital currency. But these people just don't understand. They don't know what the laws. Most Americans wouldn't believe it. Even though we say it all the time, you know, we run this commercial all the time about, hey, when you deposit your money in the bank, you don't own that money, period. And that's been banking law since like the 1400s. The bank owns the money. And with Dodd-Frank, we're always an unsecured creditor. And an unsecured creditor, that's the worst kind, right? Because you have secured creditors and unsecured creditors. Well, what does that mean? What's the difference? Well, the secured guys, they get paid first. The unsecured creditors get paid last. Right? So when the bank goes under, right, you know, you figure it out. Well, guess what? Whatever money there was goes to the secured people. The unsecured just don't get any. It's just how it works. It's simple law. That's the way the laws were written. But then they decided to take it a step further, because they wanted these global banks. They knew what was getting ready to happen. They knew they didn't fix the problem. Right? And they knew they were going to print and paper over it. Look at what the debt has done since the financial crisis. They've just tried to paper over it and pretend that it's not happening. But it is. And the realities are, you've got large sums of money sitting in your bank. Maybe you're one of the, there's people out there that, listen, God, I hate Wall Street. I know. Anytime I do something, I always lose, right? I've got a 401k, I've got an IRA, but I'm a good saver. I live within my means. And I like it that every month my bank account has five zeros on it, six zeros on it. I got 100,000. I got 200,000, right? Some of you out there, I don't know why, but you got 500,000, maybe $1 million sitting in a bank. That's idiotic. At least be below the 250, please. And by the way, the bank app, they add up all your accounts. So just because, well, I got 250 in my checking and 250 in my savings, and I've got a money market fund with the bank, and blah, blah. Now they add it all together. They add it all together. But here's how it works. So let's just say you had 200,000 in there every month, and you felt good about it, right? Now look, I'm okay. I'm under the 250. Well, the bank goes under. The FDIC doesn't got any money. We already know that. They only got $100 billion. Can't barely save any bank. What happens? What are they going to do? What does the law say? We'll talk about that when we get back. 800-951-0592. Patriot Radio News Hour. Joe and Jason here on this Wednesday. And we're talking about a scenario where, think about Silicon Valley, Signature Bank. Remember, there was one other that went under with them and the chaos that ensued. But now, let's just say instead of two or three banks, it's five or ten of these banks that are, you know, not quite big enough, right? You know, banks, say banks 11 to 50, right? The 50 largest banks take 11 to 50. And five or six go. Think about what Bank of America did yesterday. Why was that such a big deal? Well, they started marking the market stuff, didn't they? When they write stuff off, right? They're declaring, okay, this is worth nothing now. Right? This is garbage. We've lost here. And Sheila Bair, in her warning about how dependent banks 11 to 50 are on just a handful of depositors to keep it solvent. And if any of them leave, they're all going to be insolvent. Well, all of a sudden, right here, you know, the financial system's under duress. The FDIC doesn't have the money to support any of these things. I mean, what are we going to do? Go to the Treasury? The Treasury is going to issue $1 trillion of debt to try to cover it? I mean, that's not logical. Well, what does the law say? Well, it's real simple. For those of you that don't really have any money in there, it won't matter. Right? Hey, at the end of the month, I got $500. Okay, you're going to get your $500. But it's you people out there that keep the big balances. And the bank's going to go, well, gosh, Mr. Schmuckatelli, you and your wife, God, you've had $200,000 in our bank for 10 years now. Obviously, you don't need it. So tell you what we're going to do. You got access to, and they're going to pick a number, $10,000, $25,000. Depends how big the crisis is, what that number is going to be. How short are the banks? But don't worry, they're not going to take the rest of it. Well, they are, but they're not, right? You can't have it, but don't worry, they're going to give you a piece of paper that says, hey, at some point in the future, don't worry, when this thing settles down, we get it all squared away, right? You'll be able to sell, it's almost like shares of a bank. Hey, you'll be able to sell these and then get access to your money again. That's how they wrote the law. I'm just telling. Right now, they can try to throw all these tricks up and say we're going to guarantee everything and all that. But Jason, insolvent is insolvent at the end of the day. There's no way to cover that up.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I don't know how else you'd define it. When somebody can't pay the bills, that's right? Bankruptcy, right? There's no other way to define it, I guess. And unless someone covers it for it, unless there's a bailout, right? I guess insolvent isn't so insolvent if there's a bailout, which that's what the whole bail-in thing is.
Yep. Right, which they said they're not going to do. So, you know, I'm just saying. I don't know. But there's promising that they're not doing that again, and probably because they realize, oh my gosh, how much debt we'd have to issue, right? There's no way we could sell that amount of debt to actually cover it. Think about it. We have a hard time selling what we got now.
Well, 2020 kind of felt like a bailout, didn't it, though? Well, all that money they printed.
Little different disguises for everybody, right? And that's kind of the thing.
War, I guess war. Let's just say there's a war brewing. Yeah, we talked about demand destruction earlier. You want to make short of goods and services and have a war. Just start blowing stuff up, and then suddenly you have shortages and everything. And it makes me wonder why copper is going up so fast, right, Joe?
Right. Oh, gosh. You're not kidding. Listen, yesterday we ran $5 liberties. I'm going to still got them. Still have some again today. Same price. You know, you got gold sitting there. I mean, right near an all-time closing high right now, right to what, like 2390? You know, so 665, 20 or more, 660. And those $20 liberties, this is the deal of a lifetime. 1 through 49 at $2,525. You buy 50 or more, $2,495. I mean, you're talking like barely over $100 over spot if you can do 50 or more at 800-951-0592. On the silver side, I'll just tell you right now, silver Eagle premiums up 75 cents this week. So really, if you're going to get into that silver market, look at junk silver. I'll tell you this. Wait for tomorrow, because Jason and I were working on something for the silver guys. Wait for tomorrow. But today it is you gold guys out there. $5 liberties. 1 through 19, 665. 20 or more, 660. And then the $20 gold pieces. 1 through 49, $2,525. If you buy 50 or more, $2,495. And I know some of you watch gold on the TV. And you're like, Joe, gold's over $2,400. Well, the TV, yes, on the TV it is. That is the June gold contract that you're seeing. The TV shows the contract that's traded the most, and right now that's the June one. So that's why when I'm telling you, hey, gold's just under 2400, that's the spot. Then the TV is showing the most traded contract right now, which is the June contract. So yeah, you know, here you are, you're buying gold darn near, I mean, look how close the spot that is. That's a great opportunity. Take advantage of it. 800-951-0592. Jason and I, we're going to wrap it up when we get back. 800-951-0592. Joe and Jason, Patriot Radio News Hour. Wrap it up this Wednesday. And you know, we're just, man, I'm just looking at Japan and what's happening with their currency right now. Then we hear Bank of America, it's saying, hey, we're just the write-downs, here they come, right? Here come the write-downs. This is a quarter now so far anyway. The second quarter, not off to a good start. I mean, right, gosh, the Dow got to 40,000, 37, right? The S&P got to, what did it get to, like 5,300? Trying to, you know. Right now, 30 points away from being below 5,000. That's going to put more pressure on the bank, right? Because let's face it, they can make up some of these bad things with trading, right? When Wall Street's doing good, they can make things up here. Sheila Bair coming out and saying, hey, guys, this problem far from over. Matter of fact, if you're really looking at it, it's getting more dangerous. Because they're reliant on so few big deposits, and there's so much bad debt out there, it only stands to reason that there's going to be a crisis. And that's all there is to it, and you need to be ready for it. It's gradual. And I know sometimes it's slower than you want it to be. Believe me, you don't want it. I think it's terrible that gold's 2,400. And you know what I think is really bad? I think not only is it undervalued, gold should be double this price. We should be talking about 5,000 gold. And we're going to. Because that's how bad it is. And they're just trying to give you the illusion that it isn't. But when it comes, I hope you're ready. Like I said, I hope you're prepared. I hope you got your gold. Because let me tell you right now, when the crash comes, you're going to want to buy stuff. How are you going to buy it when the banks are done, right? My stock, it's got lost all kinds of half their value now. All of a sudden, I feel important. No, you're not. Right? Go back to the financial crisis. If we could all go back to the financial crisis, all of us would buy as many houses as we could. Right? Remember, they couldn't give them away. $20 gold pieces, $2,525, 50 or more, $2,495. We got gold sitting here right at $2,400. And then $5 Liberty, $665. 20 or more, $660. Like I said, Jason and I, we're working on something tomorrow for you silver guys, so be ready to jump on that. 800-951-0592. And kind of interesting, Jason, right? Jay Paul, the data, it's not quite going the way we hoped, but don't worry. We just need more time.
Yeah, I think it's going exactly the way they want it to go, and they're going to keep playing this back-and-forth game as they have no good choices as far as coasting the economy into a nice, happy, profitable place for them and their buddies. So they'll keep this little tap dance of Fed speak, and we'll be here to try to figure out exactly what he's saying, Joe, to see if there's something that really needs to be reacted to. But get gold and silver. You know, there's how you react to Fed speak. Get gold and silver. Pile it on as much as you possibly can. I know there's lots of other things you may want to put your money in. Gold is savings. Your risk is very low. It's not really investment. It's savings. It really is a way to keep yourself whole in a time where, I guess, Joe, I think everyone's going to be trying to get at your little pile of money, right?
Yeah. Listen, you got an IRA out there. We can help you get some of that put into gold and silver as well. Call us, 800-951-0592.